Alrighty, welcome everybody.
Hello.
All right, welcome everybody. Regular meeting, 7 p.m. Thursday, December 9th, 2021. It is 7:03. Call to order. You all stand for Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance
to the flag,
of
the United States of America,
to the republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. DeGeniro.
Here.
Dugato.
Here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dugato. Ms. Vidomsky?
Here.
Mr. Coppola?
Here.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Here.
Mr. Sill?
Here.
Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Charlie's excused.
And we have one vacancy. So, Mr. Mayor, Madam Chair, there are 6 members present, and you have a quorum.
Thank you. Roll call. Number 4, additions, deletions, correction, and adoption of the agenda.
I have none.
Mayor, I have 4 items I'd like to recommend we add. If you want me to go through them individually or just do them all at once, how do you want me to do that?
Individually.
Okay. At 9.6, I'd like to add a discussion on the chief of staff transition. Okay. I can make that in the form of a motion.
All right, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
And who was that?
Gino.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, should I go individually like this, all in favor?
You can go individually.
Okay, for 9.6, transition chief of staff, first, or motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye, Barbara.
Aye.
Okay, so that's Sarah, Barbara, and who's the other?
Ron.
3.
Can we call the roll so I could just hear who was?
Yeah, let's do a roll call on that, please.
Okay, Ms. DeGeniro?
No.
Ms. Vidomsky?
No.
Mr. Coppola?
Ryan, you muted.
No.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Yes.
Mr. Sill?
No.
Mr. Hyder?
Yes.
Okay, so you have 2 yes and 4 no. The motion fails.
Okay. Next up.
I'd like to make a motion, this would be the new 9.6, to add a discussion on the senior center.
Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second that, please. Gino, DiGiovanni.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye, Barbara.
Aye.
Okay, roll call again, Mark, please.
Sorry, it was unmuted. Ms. DeGeniro?
No.
Ms. Vidomsky?
No.
Mr. Coppola?
Nay, no.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Mr. Hyder?
Yes.
There are 3 in favor and 3 against, so the motion fails.
Great. Anything else there, Mr. Hyder?
Yeah, I'd like to add 9.6, a discussion on an economic development director, please.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
That's already going to committee. It's been voted on. So that'll be going to subcommittee.
Which subcommittee does that go to?
Ops and procedures.
Okay.
We're on a roll, Rob.
All right. Do you want to continue with that one, Rob, or do you want to pull that back? Go to subcommittee.
I think we should continue with a further discussion, and then it can go to ops and procedures after tonight.
Okay. So we got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor? You put that on.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye, Barbara.
Roll call, please. Mark?
Ms. DeGeniro?
No.
Ms. Gudomski?
No.
Mr. Coppola?
No.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Yes.
Phil?
No.
Mr. Hyder?
Yes.
Okay, there are two in favor, four against. The motion fails.
Okay. Anything else, Rob?
Yes. 9.6. I'd like to add a discussion on the fuel pumps, please.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion?
We have no information. So, what can we discuss without any sort of paperwork information? How can we have a good discussion without any information in advance?
Mr. Hyder?
Well, I think it's something, you know, in light of recent public comments that this is something that needs to be discussed sooner rather than later.
Right. And so bringing information to this board in advance of the meetings, not the day of, not the moment that the meeting occurs, to have a productive meeting to move things forward and have reasonable discussion. You know, these materials have to be brought to us in advance.
Any more discussion?
No one has anything.
There was an agreement. And Sony did send an agreement over. It could be discussed generally.
That the whole board has?
It was sent over to the mayor's office. There's something general that could be discussed, I guess, but that's not the pleasure of the board. We see where you're talking about that. So you got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No, aye. Barbara. Aye.
Call the roll. Ms. DeGeniro?
No.
Ms. Gudomski?
No.
Polo?
No.
Ms. Giovanni?
Yes.
Phil?
No.
Mr. Hyder?
Yes.
Two in favor, four against. The motion fails.
Take your accent, will you? Say Mr. DiGiovanni's name there, Mark.
Well, that was just like my high school batting average, 0-for-4, so.
All right, anything else, Robert?
No, that's fresh out of ideas.
Okay.
You're a better football player.
Thank you, Mark. Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I got a question for you. If we had a 3-3 tie for the senior sit, doesn't the mayor break a tie? If it's a tie, if it was 3-3, right?
It's 2/3 majority.
Add it to the agenda?
Correct. That's Robert Rules of Order.
Correct.
Okay.
Mayor breaks a tie according to the charter for bill, ordinance, or claim against the city.
Okay. That was just a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. All right. So adoption of the agenda, the original agenda. We have a motion to accept.
So I'll make the motion. Second, Barbara.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so carried. Number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak on the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Anello Malerba, 41 Lakeview Terrace. First, I want to start off by just sending my condolences to Carmen and his family. We're very sorry to hear about, very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
No problem. And then I also just want to say congratulations to all the elected board of aldermen and alderwomen. And I just want to take a second to remind you of your, we'll call it your responsibility to the city. And what we, the reason why we all got involved is to help Derby. And I feel like that's something that we should all keep in mind going forward. And then lastly, I just want to take a second on a personal note. I do want to say congratulations and wish well the outgoing chief of staff. I've known you for 30 years. It's been a pleasure. We've come a long way since our original discussion of how we wanted to get involved with the city, but you will be missed. And I think I speak for everybody on this call when we say thank you for what you've done.
Hear, hear.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else from the public? Just a reminder, if you speak, just name your name and address for the record, please.
Tom, my name is seven. All right, go on, Mr. Walsh.
Okay, Jack Walsh, 31 H Street. And I just want to give a quick update on the Connecticut Trail Census. You know, they measured 26 trails around the state of Connecticut. And Derby has always been the most used trail in the state of Connecticut. And even though they're missing the first 3 months of data for the Derby Trail, through 9 months, the Derby Trail, Derby Greenway, is still the most heavily used greenway in the state of Connecticut. So that's a tribute to the city for investing in it and the Department of Public Works for maintaining it. So I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for all your hard work doing this too. Anybody else from the public? Mr. Lionetti, you had your hand up.
Yes. I'd like to see if maybe the Board of Aldermen, or maybe we can get a group together to change some of these prices that we got going on up this Payton Field House in the field. I don't know why the prices are so high. We should lower them and start getting some activity up there to make some money, not scare people away. I don't understand why these prices are so high. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else from the public? Anybody else from the public? Third and last call. All right, hearing none. Closing out the public portion. We'll go to 5A. Fill vacancy on the Board of Aldermen and Alderwoman due to resignation of Alderwoman Linda Fusco. Democratic members only.
The Democratic members would like to appoint Kevin Sharkey as Alderman, 3rd Ward.
I'll second that.
All right, for the Democrats, all in favor?
Aye.
We don't. But we don't need a motion. So okay. We don't need a motion on it.
Okay.
Does
he need to be sworn in right now, or?
Mark? I would say so.
Yes, he does.
I would think so.
Yes, he does.
All right, can we do it over Zoom?
Yes, you can. It's Dennis Coquinos, everyone. Yes, you can.
Mark, you want to do the honors?
Sure, I'm happy to. Is Mr. Sharkey there?
There he is. He's waving to you. Go ahead.
Good. All right. So, Mr. Sharkey, raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear that you will faithfully uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Connecticut, and the Charter and Ordinances of the City of Derby, so long as you are a citizen thereof, and do you solemnly swear that you will faithfully execute, according to law, your duties as alderman from the 3rd Ward of the great city of Derby to the best of your abilities, so help you God?
I do.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Welcome, Kevin.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, everyone.
Mark,
congratulations, Kevin. Welcome.
Mark, if you can just get us all his information, contact information tomorrow.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Certainly will.
Appreciate that. All right. So now we have, what, 7 members on tonight?
Yes, the record should reflect that now there are now 7 members present.
Excellent. All right. Department head reports, 6.1, finance director.
It's Agatha. Congratulations. And I'm looking forward to working with the new board. My agenda item is follow-up on audit findings. We still have audit findings, and there's a lot of work to do. The positive results with current bank reconciliations and we're catching up on the town side and the city side with all outstanding lists for the audit. Auditor is working already with us and Board of Ed. Yesterday I had a meeting with State Commissioner explaining what's going on in the city and how we can speed up the process to get the audit done. But there will be a letter sent to the board and to Board of Education to what improvements they're looking for.
Thank you.
And what I would like to add to this discussion is we really need to make changes. Improvements on basic accounting has to be done to be transparent and to be accountable. I'm dealing with, for example, city project of about $15 million done on a checkbook. Never recorded in ledger, very hard to trace and very hard to except audit has good data for review. Other records don't exist on a city side. So this is the depth of problem we're dealing with. So I think everybody could help me out and be on the board with my efforts to improve finance in a Derby because we're really behind the, basics and to try to benchmark with other cities, we have to really do the better job. Employ proper skills and proper, I think, attitudes towards what we need to do to be good accountable city on a regular basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Agatha. That's wonderful. Just let us know what you need.
Thank you, Agatha. All right, numbers 6.2, police department.
Yes, I'm here. Does anybody have any general questions on the report? I'd just like to make a couple of comments. We are in the process of dealing with this Police Accountability Act. And one of the things that I'm going to have to deal with is accreditation. I forwarded everybody a packet with the general job description in it. And I just want to start the conversation. I know you're not going to take any action on it now. Time is slightly of the essence because the mechanism of this is I've discussed this with the Police Commission, I've discussed it with the Mayor's Office. The next step is to discuss it with the Board of Aldermen. And because it is a at-will, part-time position, and it's non-exempt, it's not covered by any collective bargaining agreement. So it would have to be a discussion on the creation of the position and setting the rates of pay. So I kind of wanted to throw that out there. I just didn't pull these numbers out of anywhere. What I did is I looked at accreditation managers throughout the country. I looked at them in the Northeast. The salaries range from $49,500 to $114,000. I looked at the median, about $81,700. Everybody tells me this is a full-time job. We do not have the manpower or the staff to do this, but I understand that we're a distressed municipality. So what I'm suggesting is a part-time position that would fit in no more than 90 days per year, 8 hours per day, or 720 hours per year to fit in at an equivalent pay rate to have someone manage our accreditation. Accreditation is not something to be taken lightly. It's extremely expensive. It's extremely time consuming, and it's cyclical where you get accredited, and the second you're accredited, you have to start on reaccreditation, and you have to be tested, you have to be vetted. We have to fly people in to monitor us. This is a national program. It's extremely expensive. I think it's really overkill, but if you looked at my report, it's one of several things under this Police Accountability Act. I don't want to fill with doom and gloom, but you're seeing the results of the last 18 months in this you know, anti-police type climate. We're in the process of losing a bunch of officers. Potentially 20% of our force will be gone this fiscal year before it even starts next year. We're talking about running promotional exams. We're talking about an extensive hiring process and losing potentially two-thirds of our first-line supervisors. So the institutional knowledge here, I'm not trying to cry wolf, but it's a big deal. And on top of that, with accreditation, body-worn cameras, you know, the drug recognition experts, and moving down the line with all the other requirements under this Police Accountability Act, it's going to be a big deal. So the mechanism is, I want to at least brief you on this. If you have any general questions, I'm going to, hopefully you're going to assign this to a subcommittee to take a look at it this month, and maybe some potentially some action next month, because my budget is due you know, February 1. So I'm going to have numbers in place, and I'd like to be able to intelligently answer any of your questions as to why, how, mechanisms, mechanics, dollar amounts, and basically the principles and logic behind it. So I thank you for your time. If you have any questions, you know, just generally now, please let me know. I'm here.
You're talking about retirements, Chief?
I'm talking about retirements. I'm talking about one mandatory retirement and the bulk of the other ones being early retirements. And generally stating, it is the theme, the defunding the police, the Police Accountability Act, and the general, you know, it's not one thing, it's everything over the last 18 months. You've seen the attitudes towards law enforcement, and people don't want to lose their houses. People don't want to, they didn't sign up for this position. So you're talking about mass exodus, and you're talking about where we had potentially 700-800 applicants for police positions. You're talking about 25 to 50 now. So I don't even know how we're going to backfill these positions. That's kind of where we sit. I don't want to be dire, but I want to be realistic. You know, we were competing last year, 2 years ago, against 10 departments to hire, maybe 8 departments to hire. There's currently 40 or 50 looking for lateral transfers right now. Every agency around you is down at least 15, 20, 25% in staffing strength. So what that means to the taxpayer is tremendous overtime. So that's, it's going to impact the unfunded mandates. On top of that, there's overtime to backfill these positions when we have vacancies.
Chief, it's Barbara. Has this position that you're looking to create, have you brought it the cost estimate to the tax board?
I have not, because I have not, because, you know, as we've discussed several times, we used to always play this circular game.
Right.
You are the superior board. So I have vetted the HR function, the concept. I mean, this is my background. This is, you know, what I do, and I know how to do this. So as I've sold this to the police commission, and I've sold it to the mayor's office, and I have their full support, the next step is for your board to approve it. Once your board approves the position and concept, and I have a dollar amount to plug in, then I go to get funding for it. So I this is the order that in which it needs to go.
I think it is helpful.
I understand that. You know, I understand that. But I was just wondering, with regard to the Accountability Act, you know, from the course of since the budget started in, you know, July, has there, you know, just been communication about it? I'm not looking to, you know, pinch. Yep. I'm just, you know, I'm curious. That's all.
So the best way to describe it is I beat this to death. I have pushed it out to every board. As far as numbers, I presented in my last budget for this current fiscal year an estimate of these costs. And I'm guessing at the numbers, but I want to say this was upwards over $500,000 for a five-year program. There's money in this budget currently. We have body-worn cameras. There's training components. There's psychological evaluations. Those require overtime, as well as the funding to go to pay for the costs. There's, our steroid testing. Our steroid testing alone is three times what we pay for drug testing now. It's absolutely a redundant system. The employee knows they're going to be drug tested. So if you see one single positive in this state, you'll be lucky, and we're going to spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on it. Body-worn cameras, in-car cameras, updating our infrastructure. There's a lot of training requirements that were budgeted. So Kalia alone is going to cost us, I think their first fee is like $13,000 or $15,000 for our agency. Then we have to fly people in to actually go through the program. And then we're going to have to pay every 3 years to maintain that accreditation. And if you didn't know, the state already has a tiered accreditation programs that they're basically disbanding for almost no cost for this federal program, which is not any better. So I don't want to fill you with doom and gloom, but like I said, I'm here for any questions you want.
Chief, Brian Capullo here. Just a question about this. Since we are a distressed municipality, is there anything on the state or federal level for grant applications to assist us in this transition into a more, I should just say, a different outlook on police accountability?
So only one. And the only one item that has some type of reimbursement is the body-worn in-car camera program, which has been approved by this board. So for the new members, this board has already approved that purchase. They have been delivered. Their install is starting in January. Then we have a lot of stuff after that. By the time we're actually wearing and implementing them, it'll be a few months after that. But once we've received and the equipment's operational, then we apply for a 50% reimbursement because we're a distressed municipality. Everybody else, I believe, gets 30 or 40%. And that is the single one item that has some type of funding associated with it. For example, DRE, drug recognition experts. So what ended up happening is we passed the marijuana bill. And with that, for DUI laws, you need to have a drug recognition expert to try to perceive other than alcohol, for example, effects of marijuana. We don't have, it takes months to train someone. The only place you can do a wet lab is in Arizona. There's no money to pay for this. And if we have to hire 3, 4, 5 people and train them at that level, we're going to have to send them and pay for them and, you know, house them. I don't even know what these costs are going to be. So there's a bunch of things like that in these bills that were hidden. And I'm not saying they're a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying they're expensive and they stuck us with the funding.
Chief, did you say that for the body cams and in-car cams that the grant has not been applied for yet?
That is correct. So
I thought that you had said, you know, once they were purchased and we had the receipt that,
they have not.
Go ahead.
So they haven't been, so buying the piece of equipment is only part of the program. There's extensive install. Every car has to be hardwired. The building has to be hardwired. This requires servers and software upgrades and hotspots. So it's not just the camera, it's a whole infrastructure. So they have to do all of that before it's up and running and they get paid. So we haven't even fully paid for this yet. We've got a good chunk down on the deposit, but just like when you're, you know, buying a house, you don't give all the money until you're done. You know, we have a deposit in on it, but we don't have a system that's working yet. And from experience, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So hopefully by the end of this fiscal year, we'll have our application in and reimbursement. That's fingers crossed.
Chief, it's Gino DiGiovanni. Question for how many officers between retirement and a few other things do you estimate will be leaving in the future?
Loaded question. this fiscal year, you can see between 4 and 7 of a 34 department. And then you're talking backfilling all of those, and you're talking about running promotions in between. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you see 50% turnover in the next 3 to 5 years.
Wow. Thank you.
I have one more question that I had brought up last month in regards to the crossing area over at Irving School, especially. Is there any update on, you know, potential increased safety measures in that area, you know, the general area, and especially, you know, at those, the crosswalks at the schools?
Well, you know, this is a cyclical problem. I've been here for a long time, and this comes up every 3 to 5 years. There's not a lot we can do. My suggestion to try to fix this is to take more of the city property in front of the building and to create a physical median divider so that the buses, when they pull in, can shut off their lights and vehicles don't have to stop for them. Because that's what ends up tying this up. It's a horrible process where you basically gridlock the entire area for a few times a day. And when drivers get frustrated, that compounds the and makes it a more dangerous environment. We used to have 2 crossing guards, one at each different location. And we eliminated one of the crosswalks so that we force everybody into crossing into one area. We have 2 people at that intersection. It's worked well for a long period of time. Unfortunately, you had a fluke where you had 2 people, you know, basically walk off the job. One of them didn't even tell us. And as soon as we found out about it, we put a police officer up there. But it's a huge burden, and it creates a special relationship when we have to keep people there. And there's not a lot we can do. The crosswalks get painted. We have new signage in the area. We train our crossing guards. Adding more of them is just, you know, more cooks in the kitchen. Doesn't make it any safer. I really don't. I'm at my wit's end with that location as far as what to do. I think physical improvements, which are very, very costly, are the way to go. But, you know, we've been talking about those for 15 years, 20 years.
Anything else for the chief?
I just a follow up to that, Jerry. It's Barbara. Have those positions been filled since our last month's meeting, when it was when they walked off the job or whatever, the jobs became vacant? I'm not going to say they walked off because I don't know that, but correct, when correct. The jobs became vacant.
So what I can tell you is there's been somebody at that post consistently. If it's not a crossing guard, it's a police officer. I know one of the positions is filled. I'm not sure if the second is. What had happened is because the afternoon off hours of one of our crossing guards at Bradley differ from those at Irving, that person was able to cover for us as well. So I honestly don't know if it's that person covering for us or if it's a new hire, but we do have coverage okay. there. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody else? All righty. 6.3, Fire Marshal's Office. Phil?
I'd like to apologize. I don't have my report. I was on a vacation, so next month I'll double up on this month and last month's report when I submit it.
Thank you, Phil. Fire Department. Anything for Commissioner?
Commissioner, I don't know if there's anyone on from OEM, but at our Elderly Commission meeting at the Senior Center the other night, they asked me about warming centers in the city of Derby. And I believe the middle school is one.
That is correct.
Do we have another one?
I want to say perhaps one of the other schools. I'm not sure. Mark Neuendorf is our OEM. He may be working his, I call it day job. It's yeah. he works nights.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to pick your brain if you knew, because I didn't know if he had anything set up. They were saying like last year during the winter storms, there was about five people that were stranded in their homes. Older people had nobody. And I don't know whether we make a list of something like that, how we can help these people. But I guess I'll bring it up to him and talk to him and see how we're prepared.
I mean, we work pretty closely with Mark. If there's someone we know about, we'll make provision. To my knowledge, we've never put anybody up in one of the schools. It never got to that point. You spend case by case and usually find a family member or something to that effect.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. OPM, Mark is not here. Storms Ambulance Corps. We have a new chief. I don't know if he's on. Don't see him. All right, 6.7, Board of Education. Doc's here.
Hey, Doc, it's Barb. How are you? I have a question. I saw in your report that the high school weight room and wrestling room were under repair. What's going on up there?
Due to some water damage, we're removing tiles, which were put down. There's asbestos underneath them. So during the winter break, all of that work and the asbestos removal will be completed so that both those areas will be renovated. We expect to finish up that work during the winter break.
So the room that's really the newer room, the newer one that was, that's the room that's affected?
No, wrestling
room.
Or the
room. The one off the gym?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, gotcha.
You got it.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Doc.
All right.
6.8, Public Works.
Is Ed on?
Yes, ma'am.
How's it going?
How are you?
Touching base again on the cattails at Whittick Park, and if there's since the last meeting, if there was a plan for removal of everything, if the potential dredging of the reservoir was an option, or if you were able to get in touch with anyone.
Actually, we received an email today from DEEP offering some monies in the form of a grant for inlands and waterways. I didn't get a chance today to call, but I will make a phone call to DEEP. There is a program, as I said, for the monies and some plans that they offer for invasive waterway species. So as soon as I speak to somebody at DEEP, I can include it maybe in next month's report and let you know what I find out.
Okay, sounds good.
And Sarah, on that grant, it's a 25% matching from the city. So I think that's gonna be a good advantage for us to take advantage. Hopefully we can use that. But it's amazing how it came up today too, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob. I was just going to ask if that's something that we can use along the river as well, because that growth right on the river's edge, on the Riverwalk and beyond is getting a little bit out of hand. I don't know if that's something that we can use that grant for as well.
I can, when I speak to
make some gingerbread and cookies.
Oh,
hello.
Oni, you gotta mute yourself.
I don't want any cookies, Oni.
Mm-hmm.
When I speak to
DEP, I will ask about the Riverwalk also.
Oh, great, thanks, Ed.
Ed, it's Gino DiGiovanni. How are we making out? Are all the trucks and the plows and the sanders and all that ready for the winter here?
Yeah, we've gone through everything during this week. We got ready for what we thought would be a storm today that didn't materialize, but we did come in for a couple hours last night to do some sanding and salting at the request of the PD. Everything's in order. Everything's ready to go. We have plenty of sand and salt on hand, and hopefully we don't have to use it.
Did we, are we switching over to salt, or are we still using a mix, or? Because I saw some straight salt down on the roads today, so just a question.
Right. We are going to try a more salt than sand application for a number of reasons. One being the spring cleanup with the sand is time consuming and costly. Our sweeper that I'm trying to get a new one, the one we currently have is not in very good shape and takes us a long time to get everything swept up. So just using salt instead of the sand is easier in the spring cleanup. The facility where we were buying our sand in Shelton is no longer going to be selling sand, so we're going to have to find another distributor for sand. The salt account that we currently have allows us to buy sufficient salt that we can go to mostly salt instead of the salt sand combination. We'll still have some sand on hand, but going with mostly salt, I think, is going to be beneficial to the streets and to our upkeep of the streets after the winter's over.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Ed, just one. Was there a recent new hire in Public Works?
Yes, ma'am. We hired someone last week, Arturo Solando. He came on board he's been here about a week.
And who did he replace?
Brendan Rushford, who was here for about a year. He was hired about a year ago, left for a different job opportunity.
Got it. My question is, so the process for hiring, how does that work? Is there a public posting that goes on, or what is the process?
We take applications as they come in. People are always coming in, calling, asking if we're hiring. When that happens, we will take applications. When we have an opening, we'll go to those applications and look them over. We did have an interview of two people for this last hire, and throw sand.
Okay.
Who does the interviewing, Ed? It's Barbara. You do it? I can't recall how it goes once it gets out of the bargaining unit. If there's an offer of a position within the bargaining unit.
Well, in the that bargaining unit option was when that opening became available in Public Works, anyone in WPCA could have transferred, but they did not.
Right. I know that. So, yep.
It goes out to any applications that we have on file. We look over the applications, and the mayor and I and Drew were involved in interviewing and hiring.
All right, so we don't additionally even post it on the website, or we post for jobs, the city website.
We have in the past, and that's I think how we got the applications that we currently have on hand. Added to that, anyone who calls and is interested in the job, we have them submit an application and we keep the applications on file.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ed. WPC, Ed Abel's on. All right, thank you for being on, Ed. Building Department, you have the report. Facilities. Parking Division.
I'd like to just apologize for not having the report in, but this past month's been a little bit of a whirlwind for me, and I'll get them both up for December.
Thank you, Connor. Revolving Loan Fund. Chief of Staff. Andrew.
Yes.
There he is. Okay. All right, nothing for Andrew. Andrew, thank you. Last 4 years, very valuable part of this administration here, my friend. You're going to be missed.
Yep.
You are going to be missed.
You know, best of luck to you in the future. Don't be a stranger. And, we'll be seeing you around.
I live a mile from City Hall. I'm sure I can't get away from you guys that fast, but thank you so much for the sentiment. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Economic Development Liaison.
You don't have to speak again, Carm. We got it.
Thank you.
Treasurer's Report. Corporate Counsel. Ron, you got all the information that you guys requested.
Yes, that was a good start. I appreciate that. I got back to Dennis. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome. And as I stated in the email that I sent to the Board of Aldermen, if there's anything on that list that looks intriguing or something you want some more information about, please feel free to give me a call. We can discuss it. And after that call, if you think it's important enough to put it on the agenda for the next meeting, we can then decide whether it should be an executive session or regular session so we could actually have a substantive conversation. And, I'm available if anybody looks at that list and wants additional information on a case, just let me know.
Surprise, surprise. I'm intrigued, but also you'll hear from me.
Mr. Mayor, is there a treasurer's report in his packet? I don't have one. Or where could I find that information on 616 there? I was just looking for that. Could you hear me?
Sorry about that. No, we don't have one in here.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for Corporate Counsel? Thank you, Dennis. Parks and Rec. Cultural Commission. Got nothing on that. Website reported tickets of the month. Athletic Complex Building Committee. Field House Baseball Field Committee. Infrastructure. Johns Control Project Update. Senior Center.
Mr. Mayor, question for the new people here on the board. I know the last few months you guys have been having, executive sessions on what's going to happen with the Senior Center in Ansonia. How do the new members either obtain that information or find out what was discussed to kind of bring us up to speed?
I'm hoping next month we'll have it on executive session so we can update everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, in the meantime, we can get all the new members any of the, the materials that we have and make sure that everybody gets that.
Okay, sounds good.
Mark, can you help with that?
We will work on that for you, Gino.
Sounds good. Thank you. Mark, I'll take that as a yes.
He has no choice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was double muted because I didn't want to be Oni. No, so I'm sorry. Hit the wrong button. Yeah, but yes, indeed. I'm sorry. I said it without. But yes, I'll get that, everybody. Along with any of the other, I'll go back through the packets and make sure you get all the updated sufficiently on all of that stuff so you have it.
And Christine, we were talking with Andrew and the mayor's office about trying to get all the board members to do a walkthrough of this of the potential senior center, hopefully when it's daylight hours. Well, one question I had for you about the senior center, because I keep hearing different things from different seniors, and so I just wanted to understand from you, for this potential merger, are you under the impression that this is a permanent, a permanent thing or a temporary solution for Derby?
I don't think I have an answer either way. I think I would just follow the lead of what the Board of Aldermen said, whether it was permanent or temporary. I don't really know. I don't really have an answer to that.
Mayor, can you answer that? Whether this is a permanent or temporary?
I think last month when I recorded, I'd love to see it as permanent. If it ends up being temporary, like Ron said at the last meeting, if somebody turns around and wills us a big parcel or a building that we can move things back here and get everything back to Derby. I mean, it's, I don't think anything's written in stone. I think that was kind of what Ron was saying too.
We need to know what your intentions are.
I'd like to get them into a nice, safe building. Is what I'd like to, single floor, more activity rooms to a place where they don't have to climb up these chairs or stairs and an elevator that works. So I'd like to get them to a nice, safe spot, right?
And I think from our perspective, while we're getting information and, potential agreements, I think knowing, definitively,
right,
whether it's a permanent solution or a temporary solution, I think those contracts potentially are, look different. How is the agreement the same for a temporary solution as it is for a permanent solution? Exactly. And I think that kind of guidance and definite guidance, mm-hmm, and, from you is.
Absolutely. But I think that's what we've been discussing executive session with all this, with Dennis.
I think that's why this should be on the agenda from here on out.
Exactly. I mean, we end up talking about,
we can get this moving.
Well, it's in this report that
we try to get it on the agenda, and now we're talking about it. But whatever.
I think too, it's hard to, I mean, without having a parcel of land or somewhere to build or the money to back it, it's really hard to make that decision, you know, going right at this moment. You know, I mean, we don't have, we're such a small town. We don't have any parcel of land. We don't have any money financially to build a new center. So I don't know how else we would move forward unless we had a plan to move forward and say, you know, 6 years or 8 years down the road, this is what our plan would be, is to build a new center. But right now, where would we even put that?
Right. And so I'm saying, you know, so we've heard, you know, both that it's permanent or that it's, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years down the road. And so, you know, how does the agreement look the same for one versus the other?
I think any agreement would have.
I think if we went to executive session on this, should put this on the agenda so we can go to executive session and talk about this. But if you want to do it under the department heads,
it would have to be done with our attorney at an executive session. Yeah. But I think any agreement would have a fair out clause for either city.
And again, I just was asking again, my question was just in general, because I've heard, you know, different things from, you know, different seniors, and I don't have the definite answer to that question.
To your question, Sarah, when they ask me that, I tell them, I honestly just tell them, I don't know. Because I really don't. I don't have an answer to them whether this is permanent or somewhere down the road. If, you know, there was a parcel of land and there was a grant or something else, would Derby be able to build something for us? Sure, possibly. But at this point in time, I don't have that answer for them either way. You know,
right.
And so I understand.
So that's why I wanted to ask you directly, because I wasn't sure, you know, what the discussions have been, or, you know, what the talk has been in the senior center.
In the center.
Right. Exactly. And so.
And that's pretty much how I frame it to them when they do ask me. I think I misunderstood how you were asking me at the beginning, but when they do ask me, how I frame it to them to say, right now, this is what we're doing. But in the future, if there is that opportunity and Derby was able to do that, of course, we would then have our own center. And that is how I frame it to them. Right now, you know, we don't have that opportunity right now. You know, I tell them nothing's off the table.
Well, I mean, Christine, it's the decision of this board to where we go from here. I mean, I don't know how you would, you know, even have an idea or
exactly.
You know, in answer to those questions. So I mean,
and that's,
I have a ton of questions to find out where this board states on this issue. Number one, number two, I met with Christine months and months ago when she offered, you know, a meeting to walk through the center and see, you know, where we're at and the conditions that the building's in. I'm not sure if anybody else went down there, but I mean, I think this issue, needs to be brought up, and I think the new members of the board need to be brought up to speed to find out where you know, this board stands on this. I don't think we need to discuss this at this time while we're going through the department head's report. I mean, I really think that we should get this on the agenda as soon as possible.
That being said, I think this should be on every agenda moving forward, so we have a resolution to this matter.
Well, we have counsel for this matter. Council didn't get back to us, as far as I know, that it was going to be on the agenda. So, you know, Sarah asked a question and it brought up other discussion. So it's that's it. We could be here all night.
Yeah, no,
we're not discussing it without, and you'll get the information, you know, you'll get what in the information in executive session, Gene, but we have counsel on the matter for the city. Our interest is different from the city of Ansonia's.
Well, right. That's what I'm trying to get at, that I think there are some issues that need to be discussed, but to ask questions and find out where we're at on this line item, I don't think is beneficial to anybody, in my opinion. So that's where I'm trying to get at, that I think it, we need to make put this on the agenda, go to executive session or what have we, and discuss it further.
Yeah. So Mark will get all the new members the materials so we can get that put on the agenda for next month, and hopefully have Attorney Baturla give an update.
Thank you, Christine. All right, hearing nothing else, we'll move on to administrative appointments. 7.1, no action. 7.2, refund of taxes, monthly tax refund. Move to approve tax refunds in the amount to $6,099.86, dated December 8th.
So move, Ron.
Second, Barbara.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Appointment to the boards and commission, 7.3.1, no action. 8, committee reports. 8.1, blight committee, 80 Stelmack Road, discussion possible action regarding blight fines and liens. Carmen, you have anything?
Yes, I believe everybody got a letter from Attorney Marino.
Yes.
We got the email, Carm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And last month, of course, I wasn't here for this, and you had tabled it, and I called Andrew to see how it went, and we were sort of being pressured by an attorney because they were closing on the next day. So when we put in the request to remove the building from blight, because it was not blighted anymore. It's a brand new house that sold for $500,000. We'll be paying probably approximately $12,000 a year in taxes. According to section 60-7C, the Board of Aldermen may waive part or all of the penalty when a third party purchases the property, which it was in this particular instance. The blight that the property had was not blight per se as we know blight. It was a construction site. But the problem is the gentleman started the house 4 years ago and he never finished it for 4 years. He just happened to finish it this past spring and summer. And it was just closed on, I think Mark said, about a week ago. Mark met with myself and Jim Watson and Attorney Marino to straighten out the logistics of the blight lien. So although you did remove the house from the blight list, we did not remove it from the blight lien. Correct, Mark? Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, there's a lien on the property right. That goes back to 2017.
Right, when this all started. Yep.
Obviously,
that was supposed to be removed with the list, the lien and the list.
Right. There are two issues there.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, so it's Barbara. So, and Carm, you may not be the one to answer this. Maybe Attorney Coquinos can. But because I looked it up. I looked it up today. And I saw that the actual quote, the deed was, the $500,000 that the gentleman sold the property for was recorded 3 days before we even had our Board of Aldermen meeting for $500,000 to a buyer. What was the lien amount?
I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't hear that last part.
How much was the, what was the amount of the lien?
I think the lien got up to about 170.
So, you know, And it's just a statement I'm going to make. We have these liens on the property. You know, I know in the past, in the last, you know, so many years, we've tried to reconcile and, you know, come down on you know, be reasonable and do whatever, but and satisfy a lien and take, you know, take money, not take money, but God, that's a big lien. That's a big lien for 3 or 4 years.
A 4 year lien because you never finished the house.
Right.
But
right. I know. I saw when it went on the land records. I know. Right. I'm just, and, you know, you but know, we have no idea, you know, how much it is unless somebody tells us how much it is. And then, you know, to release it. And what we've done in the past is what was the recommendation? Is the recommendation from the blight office to remove it totally without receiving a dollar? That's the way I'm understanding this. This is what I'm assuming. That's the recommendation?
Correct. Because of the situation that there was no house there. It was a lot. He put his trucks and his diggers, whatever you want to call them, backhoes on the lot. Did nothing for like 6 months. Then he did the foundation. He left the foundation there for another 6 months. Then he brought the wood in and he started building the house. COVID hit and he went through a dry spell with the COVID because he couldn't get the materials, were too expensive. And it was drawn out until they just closed on it this past month.
And the problem was the neighbors had to live with it.
Correct. But now the person who's buying it, the third party, you know, had nothing to do with the blight. So not to hurt the sale of a $500,000 house in the city of Derby to collect $12,000 a month, a year in taxes, you know, we didn't want to hold that up. So when we requested the release of the blight list, we should have requested the release of the blight list and blight lien.
No, I understand, Carmen. I'm not trying to be difficult. What I'm trying to, you know, my sentiment is because actually a CO was issued for that house from the building department, I believe in October, November 9th, the final CO. You know, we have an ordinance too that says you don't get a final CO unless your liens and your taxes are paid. But my point is, you know, the seller who had the lien on his property got $500,000, whether he had a mortgage to pay off, I don't know. He had taxes to pay off, I don't know. It was a $500,000 sale to, and monies that would have been due and owing to the city. And maybe, you know, now the next time we need to say, well, what is reasonable? Is there something for our administrative costs? You know, a couple, and again, people looked at that property over there, you know, before COVID. I mean, it's just, it's the nature of the lien and the ordinance. And, you know, it has the mechanism in there for payment to the city. That's all I'm saying. To me, it's, you know, it's a substantial lien and he sold it for a substantial price. So that's what I'm saying.
Charlie Sampson, I'm also going to chime in, and I'm kind of with Barbara, and maybe Attorney Kokinos can chime in here, but I get the lien is on the property, but can we go back after the former property owner and, yeah, we'll help you out. We'll cut it down to 10%. You got to give us something because it's just not right to make the neighborhood suffer what they suffered for 4 years and not collect anything, even if, like Barb said, even if it's a dollar. It's the principle of the matter.
Shorter answer is no. It's a lien against the lien runs with the property. If it was a judgment lien that was against the individual and there was actual judgment or against the individual or the LLC, and that judgment was codified by a Superior Court judgment, which was then executed by a levy against the property, then you'd have avenues of collection by way of execution on the judgment against the individual or LLC in which you've got the judgment against, or you can foreclose the blight lien, that judgment lien. This is a blight lien. Which the authority is to file a lien against the property. So the remedies would be to foreclose that blight lien. So if the new owners took title subject to that blight lien, they're the ones that are going to end up having a problem with it. Now, whether or not they did something in the closing and held things in escrow and that's why they closed, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'd be surprised if they didn't, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking about strictly collection efforts, your remedy would be to say, I'm not releasing the blight lien and it's going to stay there. And then it's, the only other option is to foreclose and collect the lien.
So I have a question. So the blight lien was for $170,000 on the property, and the owner of the property sold it to a new owner, but the blight lien still stayed on there. Is that correct? Am I following that right? So the new owner buys the piece of property with $170,000 blight lien still on the property. Is that correct? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that's my understanding, because there's been no release of that lien from the city of Derby.
So how do you sell a piece of property that has $170,000 blight lien on it? I want to come and buy it. When they do the title search, didn't that come up and say, hey, there's $170,000. So when the new owner buys it, either they got to put that money in escrow or they have to pay the lien off for it to transfer, no?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying with I would be surprised if the transaction closed without the release of the blight lien. I'd be surprised if there wasn't some sort of escrow agreement between the buyer and seller as it relates to this lien. I can't tell you for sure. I have no idea.
Right.
I mean,
right.
But people can purchase it. And if they happen to purchase property, I mean, I'll put it another way. Let's say a title searcher missed the blight lien and somebody purchased the property. They're still buying it subject to that lien that was missed. So, you know, people could transfer property and take title subject to things. Silly, obviously. I mean, I think everybody gets that, but and I can't represent that I know whether or not there's money in escrow. But you know, in doing closings for quite some time, I'd be surprised if that was closed over without some sort of escrow agreement.
Okay, so our blight lien still stands. So we either we can go to the new owner, which would own the property and own the blight lien, and make some type of deal with them, or contact, you know, their attorney or whatnot, and find out if there's money in escrow. Then we can make a decision on, you know, what the final lien is going to, you know, cost would be. That is that correct? There's no, because that should there that I guess the lien still stands, so we should be able to collect on that some from who, I don't know, but somewhere. Is that correct?
You can collect, like, the lien is still a valid lien. So your only remedy for collection at the moment would be not to release the lien and to foreclose it.
Okay.
All right. And obviously, if you say you're not going to release the lien, and the current buyer's put on notice, if in fact there's money held in escrow, which again, I don't know if that's the case. But if there is, you can tell them that maybe they have to go back to that pile of money and pay something on it.
But Dennis, if I read Vin's email correctly, I mean, it says that the city was contacted by the attorney representing the buyer, that a closing was coming in October of 2021. So was there some representation from the city that the lien would be released at $0?
So I don't know. I don't, Barbara, I don't know. And I think that's a good question, because the issue that I have a concern about is if, you know, and again, I wish we were in an executive session on this, but we'll just, you know, I'll be careful about it. Is that I don't know what the representations were. And there was already a vote to remove it from the blight list. And I think we'd have to, you know, take that into consideration, that there was some sort of, you know, action based on, I guess, the recommendation from the blight office. You know, and majority of times, I understand.
Motion at your stick up cam.
I know a lot of these things they have, you know, blight liens are, you look to collect them. It's a tool to get the property fixed, right? So I mean, I think that's a lot of times where the blight office will look at that and say, well, this is really a heavy hand to try to get the property fixed so neighbors don't get upset and it doesn't mess up the town, you know, the neighborhoods. So probably from that, I'm guessing, but I would say from that perspective, they may have been looking at this particular property, and to Carmen's point, that this wasn't a blight in the sense that we're used to seeing, where it's a property owner who's let a property go, has ignored notifications and just refuses to clean up the mess and makes the neighborhood look terrible. You know, this is a property that was a lot that I guess was blighted because of construction gone awry, COVID, all those things. So my assumption is that's what why the Blight Office made that recommendation to take it from the list.
Oh yeah, so, all the blight,
and I get that.
That was there was remediated.
And please, I'm not advocating one way or the other. I want to make sure you guys make an informed decision on it. You know, whatever your decision is, it is, that's fine by me. But I do want to just caution as far as what was represented before, and I do not know, you know, what was represented. And I'm sure whatever representation was made is that it has to be done by the Board of Alderman. I mean, that's just, everybody knows that. So anything that any attorney says to anybody as it relates to Derby is always subject to the approval of the board. So, you know, I could certainly look into that a little bit further and report back before a release is filed, if that's one of the things you guys want me to do. You know, as long as you're making an informed decision, you know, whatever you decide, you decide.
My comfort level is that the information that, and however it didn't happen on the agenda, under the circumstances, I'm not questioning that. But what I'm questioning now is to make an informed decision. Is there something that we need to, let me strike the hell everything I just said, but to make an informed decision now, you know, I'm not comfortable. I would like to know if there was a discussion regarding, and if it can't be done tonight, it's not done tonight. If there was a discussion regarding, you know, and for this board to know what that discussion was with regard to a dollar number, no dollar number, and it's got to be in front of us before we make that decision. So it's the unknowns here.
If I can kind of maybe put a bow on it, I am overwhelmingly confident that whatever discussions were made between, you know, Attorney Marino and any attorney for a closing was always caveated with it's subject to the board's approval. So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to assume that whatever discussions there were, let's assume that if it was, hey, it's going to be, you know, zero, it's still subject to the board's approval. Blight Office, town attorneys, we don't have the ability to bind the town to that. So I'm pretty confident that any type of a discussions were made very clear that it was subject to the Board of Alderman's approval. I could certainly confirm that for you. I think it's a pretty safe assumption, but I can certainly confirm that that's the case. And if that's the case, then there really would not be an agreement that comes before the board. It would just simply be, do you or do you not want to release the lien based on the facts before you, which is that the property's transferred. There's a blight lien on there. Your remedy would be to go against the property owner itself versus the person who caused the actual blight. And then you can kind of make a decision based on those facts. But I can certainly confirm.
And there's money in escrow. That maybe there's money in escrow in case.
Yeah, I mean, I went back. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I would be pretty shocked if there wasn't something held back.
No, but, right.
That's, you know, right. I've seen crazier things, but I'd be pretty shocked.
I mean, there's got to be money left in, because that lien is still existent, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know, but.
But I mean, if the board wants, what I can do is I can do a little bit more digging as far as how this was handled in the transaction, see if there's any type of disclosure they want to make about money in escrow. I mean, there's nothing that I can do to require them to disclose that information, but we could at least inquire to the closing attorneys and see how they treated it and how they handled it. And then also just confirm, which I'm sure is the case, that whatever discussions were always subject to Alderman approval. And report back at the next meeting for you guys to make a decision.
Yeah, send the bill for $170,000.
What was that?
I said send a bill for $170,000 with your inquiries, please. That'll shake a few trees.
No, Dennis, I think that would be, you know, very helpful if you could get the info. I think there were a lot of good questions that were brought up in this matter, and so I would make a motion to table this to the next meeting.
Sure, no problem.
All right, got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second, Barbara.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Community relations, nothing. Ops procedures, nothing. Number nine, new business. 9.1, 2022 regular meeting schedule. Move to adopt 2022 regular meeting schedule for the full board of aldermen, alderwomen. Have a motion.
So move, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
Second, Sarah.
Any discussions on the dates?
Just one meeting a month?
Yes. It's at right now. And then with the subcommittees coming up. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Point two, 2022, 2023 standing rule resolution regarding monthly reports and meeting attendance. Move to adopt resolution dated December 9th, 2021, regarding monthly report of department heads and meeting attendance. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Sarah.
Second.
Second, Barbara.
Discussion.
I would just like to note for, you know, all department heads that it's, you know, to get everything in to the town city clerk on or before the eighth day preceding the regular meetings, so that this board of volunteers can have an appropriate amount of time to review and, you know, be able to absorb things, you know, in a reasonable amount of time and, you know, let us prepare for these meetings.
Any other discussion?
What are the thoughts on not necessarily requiring every department head to be here in attendance, but rather the ones that we have questions from? So if we're, example, if we're getting these reports a week or so in advance, and we have a question on it, we can give the mayor's office and that department head 48 hours notice in order to attend. Like, for instance, the city treasurer has not attended a meeting. I don't know that it's necessary that the city treasurer attend every meeting. So it's something that, you know, there are some, like maybe Public Works or the chief of police that you know, maybe should be a standing rule, but others, like maybe the WPCA, unless this board has questions, do we require them to be in attendance? Especially when we go back to meeting in person. You know, if they're coming to the meeting, you know, they submit their report, they're coming to the meeting, and then we get to them and we just pass over them because no one on this board has any questions for them. It almost seems a waste of time for them to be in attendance. Just my thoughts.
I think that's reasonable, Rob.
I think we tried this before. I think we tried that before, Rob. it's reasonable to consider, but we tried it. We tried it at one point to try to get the reports ahead of time so that if there was questions, but we don't even get reports. The same people give the reports, and there's a handful that give the reports in the sufficient amount of time. You know, we talk until we're blue in the face. We get something at 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the day of a meeting from a department head. You know, we are volunteers. We have other jobs. We have other things. You know, we do this because we want to do it for the city, but it's not reasonable for us. I mean, you know, unless we try this, you know, what the resolution is here, you know, right now, we try it and see what you get and then modify it. And we can do that too, you know. Yeah.
My only other suggestion would be if they don't give us that report by the date that we request it, then they are obligated to attend.
I think that was part of it too, if I remember right, but, you know.
Another option is you can adopt it and then take it up at committee next month and modify it to you know, pick which ones you don't want or you do want. That's
yeah, that sounds good too.
All right, any more discussion? All right, good motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, hearing none, so carried. 9.3, COVID-19 Relief Fund, approval of the use of funds. Move to approve the use of COVID relief funds as recommended by City Hall staff on December 9, 2021 in the amount of $67,767.54. Could I have a motion, please?
So moved, Sarah.
Second, Rob.
Discussion?
Just, I have one question. On the City Hall hybrid meetings, audio video equipment, is that a state bid, that Connecticut College and University's contract number? It's referred yes, it to is. In the, it's a state bid from yes, the state bid list? Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Just note for the record that the total amount is the $67,767. That has to be expended by December 31st.
Correct.
I would ask that our the total finance amount. Director do the due
that's
diligence.
The total amount that 67,767 is what is the balance that's left. And just if it wasn't said, it should be implied that we're going to seek to make sure that these all comply with the RF funds.
Thank all right. You. So that I'm clear, that 67,000 number is what's left in the COVID relief funds, and these items listed total that dollar number?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right. Everybody okay. Good? Yeah, all right. Let's do it again.
We got something.
Hey, Mr. Bayer,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. Just quick math, and I'm not like the finance person here, but 34 cents? I can see 54 cents right off the bat here. What do you get 30 for?
I'm adding it up.
I went to public school, so I might not be the best, but.
The number on the. Up. The number on the agenda and the number on 9.3 in the packet are two different numbers. One's 54 cents and one's 34 cents on the 9.3 in the packet there, Charlie.
Agenda is correct. Sorry.
I think it was a typo by Mark.
Definitely.
That clarifies it for me.
All right.
Did we note for the record that Charlie's here? I don't remember.
We did not, but he came in the meeting at 7:58 p.m. Sorry.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So the exact number is
54.
What I read on the front, $67,767.54.
Right.
Motion second.
I just hate one more point. The yep. Controlled air maintenance contract is a contract. So can you do a friendly amendment to the motion to include the fact that the mayor is authorized to sign the controlled air maintenance service contract?
I would say any of the ones that include the contract probably the best way to do it.
Okay.
Because by charter, he's the one that's
authorized. Signs all contracts.
But we have to authorize him.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So we have a friendly amendment on that.
Yeah, just to authorize the mayor to sign any and all contracts with the above items.
There, you got him.
Okay.
Robbie.
Right. I'll second that.
I'll take that amendment.
I second the friendly amendment.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? So carried. 9.4, Zoom host policy and stipend schedule. Move to approve policy and stipend schedule for Zoom host dated December 9th, 2021.
Charlie Sampson.
Yes.
Second, Sarah.
All right, discussion. I think this is a good idea. We should come up with something to
compensate.
Some sort of stipend for people running these things.
Yep.
Right after Mark quits.
Whose budget will this come out of?
There's a line item for a meeting minutes. So we can
have
that. And if the board wants to have, or the tax board wants to separate it, a separate line item, we can separate that too. With add that to the.
All right, so what's the
Agatha, how would you like that? Would you like it to be separated or just in the meeting line item itself?
You're muted, Agatha. I mean, for my purpose, it makes no difference how they want to do it, honestly.
Does this schedule look good to you? Does everybody here? For the payment and the compensation?
That's what we used to do before. It's not a big deal. And Agatha, you are muted again.
I'm okay with the way it looks.
Okay.
All right, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. 9.5, police assistance agreement with the town of Seymour. Move to approve police assistance agreement with the town of Seymour dated December 8th, 2021. Have a motion?
So move, Barbara.
Second, Charlie.
Okay. Any discussion?
I just actually have a question. I have a question, if I can.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if the chief was on. I think the president of our union, the police union, is on. Does each municipality use their own vehicle when they go to the other town? I'm assuming we do, but I don't know. I wasn't quite sure.
I'm sorry.
So if they're covered, if somebody from Seymour comes in to do a road job here, are they coming in their vehicle?
Yes.
They're coming in a Seymour vehicle?
Okay. Seymour or a personal vehicle, whatever the job requires.
Okay.
Does this agreement only, is this only for construction or road work, or is there other things that we can, go both ways with?
Yeah, does somebody want to go through the agreement first to explain the agreement?
Well, I mean, I read it just says extra duty work. Is that just construction or traffic duty, or is that other things as well?
Well, extra duty work, so that would fall under the umbrella, basically, like if they were working a Stop and Shop job or ShopRite was hiring. I think if they needed help at the football game, that's extra duty work.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I think it's defined in their each bargaining unit contract, but that's the mayor alludes to is, some of the things, the extra duty work is defined there.
It's in their contract and it'll tell you what the extra duty work is there. Got it. Okay. Good enough.
And this agreement was reviewed by Corporation Council?
They wrote, yes. Wrote it up, Dennis. Yes, Corporate Council wrote it up.
Yeah, I didn't look at the agreement. Corporation Council did look at it, I think, in conjunction with our labor, Courtney George, as well as Ben Marino.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there is indemnification provisions in there as well, as far as the liability is concerned. Just to point that out.
Any other questions? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 10, old business. Motion to go into executive session for 11.1 Turco Golf Inc. versus City of Derby. And 11.2 City Hall Union Strategy and Negotiations.
It's Barbara. I'll make the motion at 8:39. And I would believe it would be Attorney Coquinos and Mr. Backlick, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think that's all we need, right, Dennis?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Sarah.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Mark, do your magic. 8:39.
Good night.
Well noted. Okay, so it's 8:39. I'm going to pause the recording and move everybody to the waiting room who's not in the executive session. And there's no other action items on this agenda. So when they come out, they'll just note the time and it'll be adjournment. So I will pause that and do that right now at 8:39. It's 9:26 p.m. and the board is out of executive session.
All right, welcome back. This is number 12, regular session action from executive session, no action required. Gino, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah. So I just wanted to, and I don't want, Barbara, this isn't for, I was just looking up Robert's rules, and I know before the agenda got adopted, we had a 3-3 tie to put something on the agenda. It was the senior center issue. And in the Robert's rules, it says that if the agenda is not adopted, that all we need is a simple majority. And if the agenda was adopted, then it's 2/3. So I just want, I don't know if that's in the right spot there or not, but I just wanted to put that out there. Because I know we stated.
You asked about a tie, right? You asked
that's
about
what I mean.
The mayor break a tie. You asked if the mayor, when does the mayor break a tie?
Correct. And
I believe the charter says when the mayor makes a tie, breaks a tie. But Sarah also indicated that there wasn't a 2/3 majority to pass the agenda.
Correct,
if I remember right. Yeah.
Right, correct. And then you only need a simple majority before the agenda is adopted. So according to the charter, it states that the mayor could break a tie when it's not an ordinance or I think it's section 21, I think it was. So I was just asking that question because I know that we said it's actually section 11. So
if I may, if the prevailing item on this matter is section 1-200 of the Connecticut General Statutes, which is the Freedom of Information Statute, the agenda has to be filed 24 hours in advance, and the regular agenda, when you approve the regular agenda this evening, that is filed so everybody knows there's a meeting on basically on the second Thursday, or the meetings that you adopted. And then only at a regular meeting can you add items to the agenda. And in order to do that, you need a two-thirds majority to do that. So the state statute
supersedes Robert's rules.
Trump's Robert's rules, and if Trump's even the charter. And so in this case, the tie, it failed because there wasn't two-thirds, not so much that because there was a tie.
I got you. I just want to make sure that, you know, that we're, number one, that we're right, and number two, you know, I know where you're coming from. That's it.
No, definitely. Yeah. But you're right about Robert's rules, that part of it. But in this case, it's the statute that prevails, the Freedom of Information statute in particular, it's section 1-200. And I'll send you guys copies of that for the new people as well.
All right. Thank you on that.
Thank you.
All right. Hearing nothing else, 13.
Motion to adjourn, 9:30.
Second,
Sarah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Nice one, Kevin. Nice one.
Good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Have a nice holiday, everybody.